on the shore. That's where I am. It's not where our guest is for this short little interview bit. And we're going to start doing these. We'll call them... I might have to ask Russ Heltman for the name before we make it official. Because he did Sports Beat Bits back at Ohio University. I did it with him. That's his name. I'll call him if we can do On the Shore Bits. And we'll do this. This is an interview portion. It's fantastic that we can get people to call in so easily and so clearly. And baseball is coming up. Spring training's happening. I've got the Astros news conference playing in front of me while I'm here in Chicago, Illinois. And calling in from somewhere in Ohio, I believe, is Riley Harshman. Riley, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you move to Florida or somewhere on me? Or where are you, where
no,
are you calling
I'm in
it
Dayton.
From? Dayton. I'm in Dayton. That's what I figured. Good old Dayton making headlines. Dayton could win a national championship this year, buddy. Are you in favor of that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm very in favor of that. They got a great team.
Especially, aren't you a North Carolina fan? You got not exactly.
Oh
doing
yeah,
this.
It's not a Carolina season I'm enjoying too much, but it's good to have the hometown team. You know, really rocking it out, making national headlines.
Oh, for sure. And you know, our buddy Clayton, he's a big Dayton Flyers fan, so he's probably really excited about that. So Riley Harshman, the one joining us on the show, Riley's a big-time Dodgers guy. Right? Knows a lot about the team, probably watches every game at least. I was never in front of a TV with you when the Dodgers were on. And there were many times in many different situations. Never, if the Dodgers were on, did Riley not put the game on. I mean, that's a pretty high-level fan. I'm going to be honest, Riley. Like, especially in the sport of baseball. If the Dodgers are on and there was a TV available to you, you were watching the game. So where did your Dodgers fandom come from? Where did this all kind of originate from? I mean, where are the ties coming from? Why the Dodgers? And how long have you been a Dodgers fan like this?
I've been a Dodgers fan my whole life. I got it from my dad. My dad's been a huge Dodgers fan. I don't know where he quite got his fandom for the Dodgers from. I mean, they were really good in the 80s when he was really watching baseball, so maybe that's where it came from. But ever since I can remember watching anything on TV, I remember watching Dodgers baseball with my dad and my brother, and it's been something we've been riding with ever since through the good years and through the bad years as well.
And there's been a lot of good years recently, and even before then, I know there hasn't been a championship, but since I've been watching baseball, the Dodgers have really been a model organization. A lot of winning seasons, a lot of division championships, a lot of star players come through the Dodgers. Obviously, their payroll capabilities, not their current payroll, but their payroll capabilities are through the roof. And it's a shame that such a model organization, Riley, I mean, front office, the way they manipulate money to be under the tax threshold, even after acquiring Mookie Betts and David Price. The fact that their farm system is still stocked to the... I mean, it's the best farm system arguably in baseball right now. Add that all into the fact that they attract free agents, bring in big-name guys, and they've dominated a good division. I mean, the San Francisco Giants are a competent organization in that division, right? For a mid-market team, the Diamondbacks aren't horrific, and they have dominated that division for the most of the time that you and I have been watching baseball, and it's really just a shame that a World Series hasn't come out of all those division titles. And it just feels like bad luck because of how, you know, it's like a craps table, the MLB postseason. It just feels like bad luck for the Dodgers that they haven't got one in 30-odd years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been very, very rough seeing so many good regular seasons, a couple hundred win regular seasons, favorites going in to come out of the National League, to go into the World Series, and then, you know, especially the past couple of years where they got to two straight World Series and lost two straight World Series. It's been rough, and especially knowing how good of a roster we have, how good of a minor league roster we have. And that's been one of the best things about watching these Dodgers the past few years is we have so many guys coming up. Like you said, we attract big-name free agents, but a lot of the guys on the team right now started in the Dodgers organization, stayed in the Dodgers organization, and have, you know, made names for themselves with the Dodgers organization. So it's been really fun to watch all that transpire the past few years.
So I want to roll through this. I want to do a little something with you here. I've got Roto World, which is a fantasy projection app. They take projection systems from all over the place, kind of give you the composite and give you the season projection for these players and for the Dodgers lineup. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read home runs, and I'll read batting average and OPS, and you tell me if you think that is a realistic prediction by Roto World, or what you, if you think it's going to be better or if you think it's going to be worse. I think this is a good way to see how you feel about the team this year. Because I think, I mean, one, reading this lineup to you, you should be smiling the entire time because it's truly incredible. Gavin Lux could be your eight-hole guy, and he might have an 845 OPS, 850 OPS. It's absolutely incredible what you guys have in this lineup. But let's start at the top. Mookie Betts, right? Projection Systems having at 28 home runs, 85 RBIs, 302 average, 927 OPS for Mookie Betts. What do you think of that projection for Mookie at the top of the lineup? RBI production probably going to come down. What do you think of that? You think he's better or you think he's worse?
I think he's right around there. It's always tough to see a guy going from the AL to the NL, or, you know, vice versa, NL to the AL, see how they do. It's also the first team he's played for other than the Red Sox. So, you know, that whole moving, trading thing, you know, it can definitely impact a player's season, but also he is going to be a free agent next winter. So, you know, he has all the motivation to do better than that projection. And then there's also the factors that go into him not living up to that expectation, but I think he can easily do something as good as that. I mean, he's been a 300 hitter his whole career, and the home runs have been coming, so he can definitely go either way with that one. But Mookie's one guy I'm not quite sure what we're going to get out of him. I think everyone thinks it's going to be good. It's just going to be how good is it going to be.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's going to be, I mean, this is a generational player, man. Wins above Absolutely. Replacement. You run him through every advanced analytics. I mean, this is borderline. This was the best Boston Red Sox since Ted Williams, position player. Every time a trade like this has happened, it has worked. So the last time a trade similar to this of a player that young, that good happened was A-Rod moving to the Yankees. Now, they didn't win a World Series the next couple years, but they immediately were above 100 wins. And they were like a 95-win team the year before. It worked, right? Every time this happens, it works, right? Even when the Rangers bought A-Rod, it works. Josh Donaldson going to the Blue Jays. Blue Jays were in the playoffs for 2 years. Remember, they traded for an MVP-level player in Donaldson. That worked. And now that the Dodgers, I mean, you guys were probably going to win 100 games anyway. Now that you make this move, I mean, this is borderline cheating. This would have been Chris Paul to the Kobe Bryant Lakers, right? It would have been denied by the commissioner. Do you feel like a thief in the night here? Because this is, we're through one player of the lineup, and it's Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is your leadoff hitter this year, man. It's incredible.
Oh, absolutely. Because Dodgers were, I mean, they were a 100-win team last year. I mean, we're so talented. We pretty much have the same core that we've had the past couple of years that were World Series teams. And just adding someone like Mookie Betts, who was a 2018 MVP. And another thing that he just brings to the team also is his defense. He's a great defender out there in right field. I believe him and Cody Bellinger led the league last year in defensive runs saved. So having him to even bolster our defense and also just bolster our lineup, it is almost cheating. We almost kind of feel like the Yankees at this point, just adding so much star power.
Yeah, I think you guys are better than the Yankees. If Clayton Kershaw were 5 years younger, you'd be better than the Yankees. Definitely. But he's not.
Absolutely.
So, we're a little worried there. But we'll get there. Let's keep going through this lineup. It's a good way to talk about the team. Max Muncy, first baseman. They're projecting 36 bombs and just 480 at-bats, 93 ribbies, 525 slugging, so like a 900 OPS. What do you think for Muncy?
That sounds about right. He's stayed around that 34 to 36 home runs past 2 years. That seems pretty accurate. The RBI is 93, you said. That's what Muncy's done pretty much the past 2 years, and he's about as consistent as they come.
But is Muncy a guy that could pop off for a 50-homer year? I mean, because he has a lot of power. I mean, will he have the at-bats for it? But it just feels like he's a guy that could pop off for 50 home runs randomly.
Oh, I think he can. He definitely has the power, has a good swing, good eye for the ball. I mean, he's just a pure hitter. And I think he'll get more at-bats this year than what they're projecting, because the way this past week or two has gone for the Dodgers, they've been a team since Dave Roberts took over that really just throws their lineup around, switches it up every time. You hardly ever see the same lineup in a three-game series. But with the Betts trade, I don't know what they're going to do with Jack Peterson. We can get to that later. But it looks like they're trying to have a more consistent everyday lineup. So it could also lead to guys like Muncy, who, I mean, gets a lot of playing time but could be getting more because they're not using that the mixed-up everyday lineup. So he could get more at-bats and easily go off a 50 home run.
For sure. And Jock Peterson, the fact that he's not even in this projected starting lineup, a guy that could probably hit 30 home runs this year, is projected actually by the system to hit 30 home runs, is pretty incredible. Let's roll through this a little bit quicker. Just say better or worse or nailed it when I read these next stat lines, all right?
Gotcha.
Justin Turner, 23 home runs, 66 RBIs, a 907 OPS.
What about his batting average?
302.
That's, I think, nailed it.
Nailed it. Cody Bellinger, 40 bombs, 102 RBIs, 285 average, and a 958 OPS.
I'd say nailed it.
Yeah, these projection systems are good. Corey Seager, 20 home runs, 82 RBIs, 831 OPS, 283 batting average.
I think they got that one right. If not, it's a little bit of an over-projection.
Over-projection, so you think Seager could fall off a bit? Yeah, I can see that as well. AJ Pollock, 20 bombs, 62 RBIs. This is an incredible lineup. 62 RBIs, 483 slugging, 809 OPS, 265 at the plate.
I say over projection only because of his injury history.
Yeah, can see that. Will Smith, 25 home runs, 237 hitter, 836 OPS.
I like that one. I nailed it.
Gavin Lux, 14 home runs, 47 RBIs, 288 average, 484 slugging, 845 OPS.
I think better. I think he'll do better. I think he's a Rookie of the Year candidate.
Yeah, that's a low. That could be a low projection. The way you guys spit out rookies, I mean, he could really have 25 bombs and hit 300 this year. He's capable of it.
Absolutely.
And then this rotation, man. Clayton Kershaw. They project him 3.5 ERA. What do you think?
That sounds about right for Clayton at his age.
Walker Buehler, they project 3.1 ERA.
I think he can do better.
David Price, 3.7. If you get 3.7 out of David Price in 147 innings like this is projecting, you guys, that is unbelievable that you got those two in a trade.
Yeah, I think Price can do that. That might be a little bit of a over projection, but if we can get 3.7 out of Price, that'd be amazing.
I think he might. Listen, David Price has the potential. I mean, that's the wild card in this trade. We could seriously be saying at the end of the year that David Price did more to help the Dodgers win a championship than Mookie Betts did. Because, listen, if David Price is pitching playoff innings, those are crucial.
Yeah, and he's got the experience with it now. He had a lot of down years in the playoffs, but he had a great 2018 postseason, led to them winning the World Series that year. And he's also moving from the AL to the NL, so he won't have to be facing a DH every game as well.
Which can be a really big difference. And he's moving to the first new division of his life. He'd always played against the same team, same players, same minor league players that come through, similar scouting reports, coaches, front office. They knew what to do against David Price. Will the NL West know what to do against David Price? That's a really interesting question. We'll ignore the back end of the lineup, but you have Julio Urias, who you almost gave to the Reds. Do you remember this? So your young stud pitcher, am I saying that right, Julio Urias?
Yeah, I believe so.
So you like him, right? Really good young pitcher, great stuff.
Oh, yeah, I really do like him.
Did you know that trade was agreed upon for Aroldis Chapman to be sent to the Dodgers and the Reds would have gotten Urias? But then Aroldis Chapman had that domestic violence incident like immediately after the trade was completed and you guys backed out of the deal and then he went to the Yankees.
Yeah, I remember that from a few years ago, I do.
So, you know, now think about the Reds, just to shift for a little bit. Imagine that pitcher in this Reds rotation that already has Castillo, Gray, Bauer, Wade Miley, and DeSclafani. Imagine if he filled in that five spot for the Reds. I mean, I think you would have the second competitor to the Dodgers in the National League, in the Cincinnati Reds.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Reds some other time. But I got excited. I'm excited about them today. I think they'll win the Central. 91 wins. But the Dodgers, to me, they're a 107 win team. I mean, this is scary stuff. Scary, scary stuff for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Great lineup. Great lineup. Great rotation. We just went through it. I want to shift to the past Dodgers, though, because, you know, you guys are going to be great this year, but will you win the World Series is the question for fans. And first off the top, I have to ask you, do you think the Dodgers should be awarded the 2017 World Series because of the Astros cheating scandal?
No, because ultimately you do have to win the games. I definitely remember watching those games, especially Game 5. And I remember I was watching it at school, and I was watching with my buddy, and I remember just listening to it and hearing all the noises going on that just weren't normal baseball noises, wondering what was going on. And now I guess we know, you know, they're banging trash cans or whatnot. But ultimately, I mean, you can't really, in today's day and age, you can't really change the past like that. The games were played, games were won, games were lost. Can't really, you know, dwell on that. I don't think they should be awarded it. I mean, it's a fun thought, but I mean, ultimately they didn't win the games.
Yeah, and I don't think you as a fan would feel satisfied at all. And the bottom line is, right, most of the cheating was going on at home. Now, there might have been some on the road, but you just go through this series, because I pulled up the World Series. The Dodgers had their opportunities, right? The 11-inning game, Game 2, which was 7-6 on the road. So the Astros dropped 7 on the road. Dodgers dropped 6. Astros then won at home 5-3, but then they only scored 2 runs in Game 4 before they dropped the 13 in Game 5. And I think Game 5 is probably the biggest argument point because it's 13 runs and there were weird noises and we've heard them from that game. So I understand that. My whole thing on this cheating scandal, and I want your take on this, is that it doesn't actually matter as much as everybody is trying to say that it does matter. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that you should do it. I think it's wrong. It should be eliminated from the sport of baseball, and it certainly gave the Astros an advantage. But I think it's like you have a couple flags go your way in a football game. I think it's that type of advantage. I don't think it's 12 men on the field the whole game type of advantage, you know, to go for the football analogy, or 6 men for basketball. I don't think it completely changes the sport at its fundamental core, because if you throw a slider's coming, it doesn't matter if it's a great slider on the corner. And I know they're major league hitters, but the Dodgers hung pitches, that those happen. Yes, you might know what's coming. Yes, it's an advantage, but I don't think it fundamentally changes results of games. And I think it's so hard to determine if they would have been able to guess those pitches from their analytics anyway. Was this just an unnecessary thing the Astros were doing? And I kind of hate that all the baseball is going to judge them this season for their success, because if they don't win this year, well, it was just the cheating. When I think knowing what pitch is coming is cool, but I don't think I don't even think it's 10% of actually hitting the ball and being successful doing it. I think that requires being a great player, good reaction. What's your take on that?
I can respectfully disagree, just because for the fact if you are up at the plate and you know what pitch is coming, whether you know where it's coming, where it's going, you know, on the corner, inside, wherever, if you know a fastball is coming, your approach changes. If you know a breaking ball is coming, your approach completely changes. So, and that's one of the biggest things about baseball as a hitter is you have, especially in the major league level, like you guys have guys throwing 95, 99 mile an hour fastballs. You have literally, if you're playing the game the right way, you have from the time the pitch reaches the window of a pitcher's arm slot to coming to the plate, and that's less 2 seconds or less. So you have such a finite amount of time to find out what you're about to swing at. Whereas if you already know what you're about to swing at, you have a huge advantage. You don't have that little split second finite amount of time. You know what's coming before the pitcher even goes into his windup or lifts his leg. So in that aspect, and again, they're Major League Baseball players. They're the best of the best, especially if you're playing at a high level like in the World Series. If you have an idea of what's coming, you have that much more of an advantage.
Yeah, it's certainly an advantage. But knowing what's coming and the way they knew what's coming, right, the way they knew what's coming was illegal and outside the rules and should be punishable, which it has been punished. But knowing what's coming has been a big part of baseball for a very long time, right? Pitchers tipping their pitches, stealing signs from second. And yes, it's an advantage. But it's the job of the other team to make sure that the other team doesn't know what's coming. And let me throw this argument out there. Trevor Bauer has been talking about he knew that this was going on. Teams are saying that they were getting warned all through 2017. And I don't know. It just feels like that there's a counter move. Did the Dodgers have a counter move? Was it all in their head, right? Did they know that they were stealing signs? And were they able to properly change signs? And I'm never going to believe any of the players that got beat, Riley. I'm not going to believe them because they are able to save face for some of their failures in that series because they get to point at the other team and yell that they cheated. And I've seen this in baseball culture. I'm sure you did too, where it's never your fault. It's the mound's fault. It's the baseline's fault. It's the umpire's fault. It's the other team's fault. It's so easy in the sport of baseball, especially baseball culture, especially in Ohio. I know you've played in those type of leagues. I know you played with those type of players. And I've seen those players at the college level. Anytime there's an opportunity to blame somebody else in the sport of baseball, the modern baseball player usually takes it. And there are exceptions. And I know that you can blame them. But what these baseball players are doing, consistently pointing, consistently saying, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. And the Dodgers, I just feel like there needs to be more ownership taken for lack of results because you still could have hit in the series. There's still so many things you could have done. And to me, it's just baseball, move on. They beat you. They did it. You should have done better to counteract it. You should have told earlier if you knew it was going on. Just move on. Hope they never do it again. They shouldn't never do it again. And just keep trying to win ball games. I feel like everybody's holding on to this thing a little too long.
I can respect that, but also I believe all sports are like a fraternity, especially at the professional level. Like, yeah, you go at each other, your competitors and everything, but it's a fraternity. Like, you may not like your competitor, but you respect them. But a lot of people thought about this way about the Patriots for a while, especially after Spygate. It's like hard to look each other in the eyes after you do something like that, especially when the results are rings and championships. It's a difficult situation. I mean, I definitely think if I was a major league pitcher, I would rather face someone who I knew was juicing rather than someone who I knew what was coming.
Yeah, certainly. I can agree with that too, Riley. And I think it's a difficult topic. But let's put it this way. Would you be confident if the Dodgers and the Astros played in a 7-game series in the World Series, that the Dodgers would win that series? There's not going to be sign stealing this year. And if that matchup happens, which is certainly possible, and the Dodgers players have been pointing the finger, and there's been dudes crying on podiums about careers being ended because of it, and a lot of people lost their jobs, and yes, it's a big deal, but if that series happens, and the Dodgers play the Astros, and the Astros win again without cheating, because we know they won't be, that is going to be next level embarrassment for every player or fan that claimed that they should have been awarded a World Series, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? The fact that that's possible, the fact that they could do that this year kind of indicates to me how little the cheating might have mattered. Like, it's just such a complex issue with so many different viewpoints, and we'll never know the full truth, ever. And Dodgers fans will assume more, Astros fans will assume less. But to me, the Astros could certainly be the World Series champion this year, without a doubt. And if that happens, especially against the Dodgers, I mean, these baseball players saying, this is unbelievable, this is immoral, this is horrific, especially because I think that every single player in Major League Baseball, if they were in that Astros locker room, probably would have done it because it felt like part of the culture, you're getting a competitive edge. I just feel like it's unnecessary finger-pointing.
I can see that, and sign stealing has been going on for hundreds of years in the game of baseball. This isn't the first time people have stolen signs, but it's the first time people have used technology and all these other things that have gone into their, you know, scandal to steal signs. And I don't think it's a big deal, but it's not as big a deal as some people are making, but I can also understand the arguments. I know Mike Clevenger, pitcher for the Indians, really went on about it. And one thing I can respect that he was saying is that there's minor league pitchers that come up and they get, you know, in baseball, it's ruthless, especially in the minor league system. I mean, they get paid next to nothing. They sleep in, you know, crappy hotels. They grind, and they finally get their chance to be in the pros. And then you face against, I mean, you're a minor league pitcher and you get your first chance in the pros. Like, it's probably not going to go well anyways. But then you also have people knowing what's coming when you're throwing it, and they just demolish you and you get sent right back down. So that's one thing. It's like you're kind of cheating those guys who worked so hard to finally get to that spot, and then they just get demolished and they're sent right back down. Probably not. And that's, I mean, for a lot of guys, you only really get one chance to make it for that. And if you screw up that one chance, you're not getting another one.
Yeah. But if they're stealing signs all the time, which we don't have proof of, then why did some pitchers have success against them? Right. This is where the argument to me, just as baseball players, like, well, if they knew it was coming the whole time, because that's why that guy got shellacked for 7 runs. Well, then why wasn't every pitcher that was at this level getting shellacked for 7 runs? Because if you're a better pitcher, you're a better pitcher, right? And guys guess well all the time. Like Joey Votto probably knows what's coming 85% of the time. And then he just sees it out of the hand and he can adjust. Now, I again, it is an advantage, certainly. But I think that it's an overstated advantage in the minds of baseball players. Let's put it that way. I think they need it more than they actually need it, if you know what I'm saying. Like, and baseball player, well, yeah, I swear, but I want to see the data. You have to run data on this, because I think it's a real, to see how much it matters, because I'm not seeing the consistency across the board. If it mattered enough to strip a World Series, which, again, you're not in agreement with, but if it mattered enough to strip the World Series, we would see statistical anomalies. We would see things that are out of place all over the Astros schedule when they were able to do the cheating, if it mattered to that level. And we just don't. It looks like a regular great offense through a regular great season, where Jose Altuve won the MVP, had a better OPS on the road than he did at home. So I don't see that massive game-changing, life-changing impact that so many players and so many managers and so many coaches are putting on this, which is fair. And yes, they should be punished to the highest level. And that's exactly what's happened. And I didn't even understand banning some people from baseball for this, because you don't want it in the game. You want it out. It's bad PR. But like inside baseball, the Dodgers better not be talking. They better say, we need to play better. That's what my point is. The entire league needs to say, we need to play better. Forget what they did. There were so many moments we could have played better, instead of the classic thing that I've seen for years. Oh yeah, it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. And I really don't want that to be the storyline of that 2017 season. And I'm afraid that it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't want that to be the storyline either. But one thing that I've seen a lot from Dodgers players, I know Dave Roberts, I mean, when he was asked about it, he just kind of said that he was kind of heartbroken, but you know, it is what it is. We played the right way. And that's another thing I think Cody Bellinger says, like, it is what it is. It happened, but we played the right way. I think that's the attitude of most of the Dodgers, is it happened, whatever, we lost. Maybe some are crying. I mean, I've seen Alex Wood kind of complain about it a little more than others, and he's just back to the Dodgers now. But it's mainly been, we did it the right way. They did what they did. We did it the right way. And I think that's the attitude that a lot of other teams probably need to take, is we did it the right way. They did what they did, and we did it the right way. And we just need to move forward from that. But you know, some people are going to be more hurt than others. I mean, like you said, the culture of baseball, there's a lot more baseball purists out there than there are of, like, you know, other professional leagues, how, you know, old heads, you know, get involved, and like baseball still has a lot of that old head mentality still. So I think that's why it's such a big deal. Still, I mean, it was like that way with the whole Mitchell report and the steroids. You know, old heads will take over, and you know, younger guys like us, kind of like, I mean, that's the way of sports. You know, I've been hearing it my whole life. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, in some way.
And that's
right.
Yeah, and that's one. I mean, you got to want to win, and obviously the Astros wanted to win, and they found an advantage that they could use to help them win more, and it worked.
Yeah, it's just. So this is the way I put it. The disease of competitiveness has many rewards, but its fault is also you will cross the line to win. The competitiveness level you need to be an elite player in these leagues often carries over, unfortunately, to doing anything to win, which includes cheating. I mean, it's just almost natural for somebody that level of competitor who's addicted to winning. I mean, who cares about rules of can I get around them? I want to win. I want to be better. I want to win. Like, it's not about I want to win and be a good sport about it. The greatest competitors ever, they want to win, bottom line. And if there's something they can do to skirt the rules or get closer to winning without blatantly doing or blatantly getting in trouble for it, they'll try it. They will try it. And that tends to be a theme that we see throughout sports. And I think you're exactly right. Just the amount of cheating, the fact they caught 10 out of 30 teams and then they sent the warning out and the Astros continued it in the postseason, like that means it was going on of all of baseball. Everybody was doing it in some sort of way. Now, maybe not the exact way the Astros ended up doing it or to the degree that the Astros did it, but the fact they caught 10 of 30 teams before the 2017 postseason, to me, if you catch one-third of people in a group doing something and they all have similar mindsets, I can guarantee you about all 30 were doing it in some way. That's just kind of how things work at this level of competitiveness, at this level of achievement. Because if you hear about 10 other teams doing it, three of them in your division, you don't think you're going to do it, right? It just becomes one of those things. Interesting stuff, Riley. Interesting stuff. Okay, I want a prediction from you, though, to circle back around to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Your win total prediction, and do they win the World Series this year? And who do you think the World Series would be against if you think they're going to win it? Give me all those.
All right. So win prediction, I think they'll take 105 games. 105. I think they're going to win the World Series. And who they're going to face, that's a hard one because there's a couple teams I think that they could realistically face. I think the Yankees are obviously one of them because of their rotation, their lineup. It's very similar to the Dodgers. I mean, you see Yankees have a very good rotation. They got a good bullpen. They got a lineup that hits a lot of home runs. Another team that maybe not a lot of people are talking about, the Minnesota Twins, because they're a team. I'm not quite sure how well they're going to pitch this year, but they're going to be a hard team to pitch too. But I ultimately think it's going to be Yankees, Dodgers. It's going to be a big team World Series. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it because it's two highest payrolls in baseball, two legendary organizations going at it.
You know what my dream World Series is?
What's your dream World Series?
Dodgers Angels, because we need to see Mike Trout, Mookie Betts. You have Ohtani, so you'll attract that international audience. It's both in the city of Los Angeles, while at the same time, we just probably went through a battle of Los Angeles in the Western Conference Finals of the NBA, so it kind of has that vibe. And it's just all those collection of things. Great player Mike Trout, great player Mookie Betts, right? Dodgers, Angels. I think that would be an awesome World Series in terms of the star power, the storylines that can cross over. Because Dodgers, Yankees, oh cool, the two teams that are capable of spending the most money and have all the advantages that baseball gives. They're playing each other, fun. But Dodgers, Angels, I think there's a lot more interesting storylines there.
Absolutely.
It's just about if the Angels can do it, if Joe Maddon can elevate another team. And they've got Mike Trout. I think Mike Trout would destroy in the postseason if he really had an opportunity to throughout a series.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would you be scared of facing Mike Trout in a 7-game World Series? I would.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He has the potential to go 450, bat 450, and probably hit four home runs or so in a world and just a World Series.
So, which would be a killer. I mean, you're done there, right?
I mean, there's eight other guys that got to step up, too.
Unless Mookie Betts says, I'll match you, Mike Trout, because the only player that's close to Mike Trout is Mookie. Like, Mookie and Mike, over the past 2 years, have eight more wins above replacement than the next closest, which is a pack of MVPs. So it's just, the talent there would be absolutely insane. It would be baseball at its absolute finest. Riley, we're going to wrap it up, but thank you for calling in. Loved it. Really entertaining show. And we got to keep getting you on the podcast, especially if the Dodgers start like 28-0 or something crazy.
Awesome. I look forward to it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, how would you react real quick? How would you react though if the Dodgers were like 19-20? Would you panic or would you just say, don't worry, it'll come around?
That's only 39 games. We got 100 more to go.
Yeah, 19-20, Mookie Betts batting .230. We're going to get the headlines. The Red Sox won the trade. And then the Dodgers will end up at 100 wins and then re-signing Mookie Betts. And then you'll be like, oh, well, never mind.
Right.
Riley, thanks for joining us on the show. Really appreciate it. That was Riley Harshman from Dayton, Ohio, joining us on the shore. Not literally, on the phone. I'm Lucas Moore. I'll talk to you next time. It's been On the Shore.